Yeah, it's a real education, isn't it?
You talked about going to school while in the Navy, about going to Miles City Community College.
Yeah.
What'd you study?
Well, liberal arts, yeah. And a lot of psychology.
I wanted to go back to the Hollywood question, because there's an idolized, war and the military, and how do you feel about it?
Well, they had a movie right after the war, The Pink Submarine, they called it. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Well, there was. The Sea Dragon, there was an overhaul in Cavite Navy Yard. When they bombed, they sank the sea line alongside of it. But they just scraped all the paint off and they painted it with red lead. And they had to go to sea that way, and that's where that story come. And there's a chief that was on the Sargo, we made up to kill time aboard ship, they made up a hot, straight, and normal, I can't even remember the name. But a daily paper.
Yeah.
We wrote stories and about different people, different things, and we had it put in a book for them and published it that way. And this guy took it to Hollywood, and that's what the Pink Submarine was based on.
Operation Petticoat.
Yeah, well, I was one of the I was one of the reporters. There was five of us that did that. But there are a lot of benefits in the military. Just learning how to get along with people. You learn so much about people that it's unbelievable.
We kind of talked about the boot camp, but when you left, did your boot camp class go? Did you guys spread out?
Oh yeah, they all went to sea, but three of us went to submarine school. The rest of them went to destroyer or whatever.
Did you ever keep in contact with them?
No one from boot camp at all. There was one I did for a while, but I don't know what happened to him after the war. And I had him because of the submarines. He was in the same squadron that was Admiral Captain Senator McCain. His father was a junior officer in our squadron.
What about your time in the war and the service sticks out the most? The kaleidoscope.
Well, the action, when it happened, but it was so far and few between, so many things. I never learned to play poker. I never played a hand of poker. People don't believe me. I couldn't be in the Navy 30 years. I played a lot of AC-DC and a lot of cribbage. I never played poker. But I read every book they had aboard. I think we got 500 books or something. I read every one of them. That was my big salvation, anyway, because there's a lot of downtime in between. And when you get that, you wonder what's going to happen next. The general alarm goes and you wonder, well, is this time to sink the ship or they sink us? See, I've been depth charged. The first depth charge was Christmas Eve, 1941, off Cameron Bay. We was patrolling off there, and a destroyer come out of the bay and dropped two depth charges, turned around. I was 2 miles away from us. But at that time, the thing was all the aviators said drop sighted sub, sank same one bomb, we thought. And then we later took a meeting one time, we had 96 depth charge dropped on us in a 30-hour period. Submarine, pretty tough, as all ships were. They got really beat up before they really sank. But that was it, it was a learning experience for me. a lot of fun in between. I was scared. We had marvelous officers.
You said you stay in contact with some of the men. Does it range from enlisted to the officers?
There's two captains and all the rest of them. Well, there's one, he was a ship's cook on there. He didn't stay in the Navy. And there's chief laborman, chief torpedoman, chief electrician. And Frank, he's a captain. Johnny, he's a captain. Who else we got? Jimmy Hayward, he's chief torpedoman. Well, there's eight of us. We mostly email now, except Captain Kane, you know how we do. But yeah, that, you know, mostly that's our friends. Our friends for life.
Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in
the same thing, yeah. But I tell you what I'd do first. I'd go to college first and run as an officer.
Yeah.
I had good luck with officers. You know, when I was chief, you know, I used to, you get a new, you know, get an ensign aboard and he's all up to go. And I used to, listen, I don't know what your job is, but I know what my job is. I'm the foreman. Look at me as a foreman. You're the head of the company or whatever, up here someplace. I don't know what you do. I know what I do. Now, if you want anything done, you come and see me. See?
Yeah.
Don't stop. You see a pile of dirt and stop and say, hey, you come on over here, clean that up. I said, hack me up. Help me, whatever. I'll get it done. Because once you start doing my job, then I'm going to quit. I'll go to chief's quarters and drink coffee. And I had good luck with it. I never... very seldom had it. Well, I had one incident and threw him out of the gun turret. And the exec was court-martialed me for that, but I told him, oh, I think I would have... He tried to kill us, I told him. You know, he tried to open the breach when it was loaded. And I said, well, you don't do things like that. But I had a way. I knew how to work in the system.
What about the word made the biggest impact on you?
The people I met, the people I knew, the shipmates. I'm here because of them. We all work together now as a team. There's nothing closer than the submarine crew. We're sealed in that tube for days on end. 54, 16, the same way the game went. They can go on forever, but they don't know what to do. But that's to me, I think, is the people I met and that. The rest of it's kind of faded. The depth sergeant, but that's when I lost my hair. Among other things, I like to tell people it fell off both ends. I was always treated well. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Even in boot camp, you know. Well, we had one bad chief there. He was a battalion commander. We had to have a final bag inspection for graduation. I passed that and I thought, gee, we're all done. We went over to OGU. We had to have another list. The guy said, yeah, chief, you have to have another one. And I hadn't rolled my clothes after last day of boot camp. I just took the whole sea bag and I put it out, it was pretty sloppy. And boy, he kicked it all around. He says, you scrub every one of them, you know, hang on, grab them, roll them properly. I will inspect it. You know, you won't leave here. Boy, I learned in a hurry, you know. No shortcuts here.
When did you know you were
that was it. He no longer wanted to be in the service.
It got so bad in Vietnam, you know. I was in Norfolk on a repair ship. He was repairing all these ships down in Vietnam. There were a lot of crazy things going on. I tell you what, we had I don't know when he was in, but there was a chief of naval operations, his name was Moore. And he was a St. Cloud fleet at that time. And we used to play golf behind him at Chilla's Point there. And the skipper we had, Kenny Wilson, and we was talking, you know, Captain, anybody ever tell you what this war is about? He says, nah, he says, I ask and they tell him. I said, I wonder if Admiral Moore would know. He said, why don't you ask him about it? So we got up behind him. He had his big cart there with all his communication gear on it. And that. And I said, Admiral, can I ask you something? He says, why, certainly. And I said, I'm better, but if I want to ask him. What's the question? I said, what the hell is this war all about? He says, Colonel, he said, I go up to Washington and I ask them at the SOBs. And he said, they don't have the slightest clue what it's all about. So, sorry, I can't tell you. And I thought, holy man, yeah, here's a four-stripe admiral, and he don't know. What am I doing in here? I'm a chief war officer, and I think it's time to go, you know? Well, the crowning blow was, I had 27 years on, and I was supposed to have surgery. I was due for shorter than a detail officer. One of them came down to the ship there. I asked him, where am I going to go? My last choice always been Bangor, Washington. Before it was a submarine base. It was an ammunition department. They had hunting and fishing. They opened up there. And he says, well, I can fill these billets in Vietnam. And I said, well, I'm not interested. So I went to World War II, you know. Been through that in Korea, and yes. As we got two Naval Academy graduates on this show, we've never been out of Chesapeake Bay. Well, they're pretty good candidates, I think, for that man. He said, well, all I can tell you is that. So I had a friend, a Eagle pilot, and he flew me up to Washington and went over to see the head detailer. He was a captain. And officers was froze at that time. This was January 67. And a reserve officer filed a lawsuit, and the Supreme Court says they're illegal to hold it because there's no war going on. It wasn't a declared war. So I had a yeoman type up my request for retirement. I retired in January, and I worked at January 27th. I went up my room, this captain detailer, and I asked him, if you could tell me when my next my shoulder's going to be. He said, who says you're going to get surgery? I said, well, for 27 years I was told my last tour of duty would be my choice. He says, who told you that? I said, I've done all my life. He says, that's a bunch of bull. There's no such thing. What they call a twilight cruise, I think they called it. And I said, well, I guess I've been misled all these years. So where am I going to be sent? And he says, well, we got these bills to fill. And he said, well, I'm not interested, Captain, because I got a request to retire. And I was getting a little angry, and I said, you know, these two Academy graduates, I don't know if you're Academy graduate, Captain, but I no disrespect, but they're down in the ship, they're on that amphibian, never left Chesapeake Bay, graduated, one's a lieutenant, full lieutenant. I said, send them two son of the guns to war. Okay, send them to Vietnam. Then go down there and take every officer that's never been in the war and send them. And then you just do it right. Take every officer that hasn't been in two wars and send them. I'll buy my own dime, take the flyover. See? And he got up and warmly shut the door. And he says, you know, you're on the verge of getting a court-martial. I said, I'm sorry, Captain. He says, listen, I'm going to tell you, Gunner. If I had my way, 98% of these people in the Navy Department and the Pentagon, I'd would check overseas, but I'm headlined. He said, good luck to me. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to college. He said, good luck. Shook his hand and left. And retired. But it was bad.
Would you go, did you go back to St. Paul or did you go to Montana?
No, I didn't come back to Montana.
To Miles City?
Miles City, yeah. We tried to decide, but during our time in the middle of my wife, I went to Custom Millinery School for 2 years. I was at Great Lakes, and she had a Custom Millinery store. And she was doing real good. And in Virginia, she was selling a lot of hats. And she wanted to go back and live in Illinois, a little town there. And the boys and I wanted to go to Montana. And the youngest boy, he was going to be a freshman in high school. And we talked it over, and she said, well, let's do the Democratic way, vote. And we voted, and she said, okay. But she's real happy we came back. Her hat business went to, he didn't sell many hats in Montana, so it made sense. We come back and, we've been very happy since then. Would you do